In his hotel room, which looked like a shower stall with half-hearted ambition, Archer ditched his hat on the bed, tucked his satchel in the narrow closet with two feeble hangers dangling from the wooden rod, and sat in the one chair by the one window. He parted the faded and frayed curtains and stared out at Reno. It just looked average. Maybe a little below that, in fact. Yet maybe it punched above its weight, like he always tried to do. He smoked another Lucky and took a drink from the flask he carried in his jacket pocket. Archer didn't need beautiful women, watery wine, or golden boulevards. He just desired a steady paycheck, something interesting to do with his time, and the small slice of self-respect that came with both. The rye whiskey went down slow and burned deliciously along the way. Thus fortified, he took out the letter typed on sandpaper stationery with the name Willie Dash, Very Private Investigations, imprinted at the top and giving an address and a 5-digit phone number in Baytown, California. Included with the letter was the man's business card, stiff and serious-looking, with the same address and telephone information as the letter. A tiny magnifying glass rode right under the business name. Archer liked the effect. He hoped he liked the man behind it. More to the point, he hoped Willie Dash liked him. The missive was in response to one Archer had written to Dash at the advice of Irving Shaw, a state police detective Archer had met while in a place called Poca City, where Archer had served his parole. Shaw and Dash were old friends, and Shaw believed Archer had the makings of a gumshoe. He thought Dash might be a good mentor for him. Archer had mentioned Shaw in the letter because he hoped it would move Dash to at least write back. Not only had Dash written back, but he'd suggested that Archer come to Baytown and see what might be possible. He had promised Archer no job, just the opportunity to seek one, depending on how Dash viewed things. Archer didn't need false promises or mealy-mouthed platitudes. He just needed a fair shot. He put the letter and business card back in his jacket pocket, gazed out the window again, and noted that it was nearing the dinner hour. He had passed clusters of eateries along the way here, and one had stood out to him because it had also been the establishment Naughty Ginger had told him about. He grabbed his hat, pocketed his hefty room key, which could double as a blunt instrument if need be, and set out to fill his time and his belly. It was a short walk to the Dancing Birds Cafe. The place was tucked away down a side street off Reno's main drag. The broad windows were canopied by red and green striped awnings. The door was solid oak with a brass knocker barnacled to the wood, and a flickering gas lantern hung on the wall to the right of the door.